Ben. Special guest tonight, so we won't be long in the beginning here. We'll get right to Chad Hoover, but for now, we got some things I want to run through. First off, I'd like to say welcome and thank you to everybody in the chat room. It's filling up as I speak. We're in the 28 region now. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We'll get to the show here shortly, and as always, I have to say hello to my lovely wife, still in Virginia, as I'm down here in Florida. How's it going, Chris?
It is going fine. A bit nippy, but it's going well.
Is it? Yeah, it's finally cooled off down here even. Got a little crappy today. It's been blowing out of the north and windy, but doesn't matter when you're working inside all day what it's doing outside, I guess. But very cool. Well, I got Chris here, and we're talking. I am going to say something that she, I know, would not say on the air, but I just wanted to throw this out publicly and to congratulate my wife, who has been nominated for Top Ambassador on the World Fishing Network. Very proud of her. That also puts her in the running for Ambassador of the Year for the World Fishing Network. Very cool. Very excited for her. She puts a lot of effort and work into her blog, and they've noticed it over there. So, way to go, honey. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Well, as everybody's been hearing for the last, I don't know how many weeks now, we have been talking about the upcoming Boondoggle, which is less than, what, a week and a half away now? So, if you haven't heard about it, I don't know where you've been, but the Boondoggle coming up in Chokoloskee, Florida, will be next weekend. My understanding is the campground is full, and it sounds like everything out in town is slowly filling up, but there's still some availability out there, so it's not too late, I guess, but it's getting pretty doggone late. For those of you who don't know and maybe are interested, the Boondoggle is basically a big get-together sponsored by the people at the website Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio. I don't even know what the head count's up to now. Maybe Chip can chime in and tell us where they're at. But anyway, everybody's just getting together, going to go fishing. That's what it's all about, good time, good friends, get some fishing in. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty big thing, and I've been watching here. Do you see all the raffles that Charles has been getting, Chuck has been getting, Chris? He's been getting stuff like crazy.
Oh, yeah, coolers, tackle, TVs, he's got it all.
Yeah, it sounds like if anything else, you're going to walk away with something pretty cool. But, yeah, so the Boondoggle, you can find it at Kayak Fishing Radio /Boondoggle or on yakangler.com/Boondoggle. But it's going to be a great time, it looks like. Unfortunately, we won't be able to go, will we? But, and then some other upcoming events. What we got here? 3 weeks, Chris, and you and I will be in the Greensboro at the Central North Carolina Fishing Expo. Chris and I will be hanging out and working in the Get Outdoors booth for Native Watercraft. So anybody who's in the central region of North Carolina, it's going to be in Greensboro the last weekend of the month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Basically, it's the same people who put on the Richmond show. So we'll be in Greensboro for 3 days hanging out at Get Outdoors. So if you guys, anybody's in that area, like to come by, say hi. Tons of tackle, big event, plus it's a big boat show also. So if you want to come kick around some boats, you can do that too. And there's going to be several other kayak clubs there. There's going to be Jerry Dilsaver will be there. So it's going to be a pretty big show. It's always a nice time there, so looking forward to that. And then we're kind of a ways out, but the end of March, Chris and I and our new formed company, First Landing Kayak Fishing, will be at the Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Expo. Was that the last weekend of the month, right, honey?
Correct. Weekend of the 1st of April.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I'm glad I got you to keep me in track.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You didn't sound too happy about that. All-day job, huh? All-day job.
Two-day job.
All right. Two-day job. Wow. Anything I'm overlooking before we get right to it? I want to make sure I give Mr. Hoover all the time in the world. Everybody stay tuned, though, too, because Chad's going to be dropping some bombs on us, I think, tonight. So for everybody who's logged in as a guest, if you, Chris has been putting it up all night, but you can log in for free using your Facebook, Twitter account, and or just make up your own, not make up your own account, but you can start a free account here and go ahead and you can ask questions and all as Chad's in the room tonight. Chad's there, isn't he? Yep, there he is. Not right. Howdy. All right, so is he ready, honey? You got him on the...
I believe I do. I haven't heard a peep.
I'm on here. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, we
there can. He is. Mr. Hoover. Well, before I get talking to you, I'm just going to give you a quick intro. Chad and I have been knowing each other for, I don't know how many years now. We've traveled around, fished a lot of tournaments. Always been a fun time with Chad. Anybody who's ever been around Chad, we know that he doesn't have a... He's not very talkative, doesn't get out. He's a very quiet kind of guy. So it might be kind of tough tonight to get him loosened up. But once we get him loose, we can probably get him to give us a few little pointers. Chad is definitely been one of the forefathers, I would definitely have to say, and not because he's one of our guests tonight, but for kayak fishing and definitely the kayak bass fishing industry. He's sponsored by Wilderness, and I don't know, I'm sure a list of other. He's also now the, what are you, a co-owner of Hook One, Chad? Hook One?
Yeah.
Co-owner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hook One, kayak bass fishing website. The list goes on and on. So Chad's got a lot of things he wants to share with us tonight. And I'm not going to go ahead and jump the gun on any of that. But he's also, I know he's got some a TV show coming out. So he's hopefully going to touch upon that tonight, too, on the new NBC Sports Channel. So, Chad, how's it going, buddy? How you doing tonight?
It's going, man. How about yourself? How are you, Chris?
Doing all right. Ready to get home to Virginia. But I'm doing good,
yeah.
Man. Doing real good. We got you logged in the chat room now, too. Did you figure all that out?
Yeah, dude. You got to refresh the page. I tried to I tried to finagle myself into going over and hanging out with Chris to do the show, but Mark was like, "No, dude, you can just stay home and call in." Well, you sure wouldn't be better if I was actually there in person? He's like, "No, dude, I'm in Florida. You should probably just dial in." And I'm like, "But I mean, it's no problem. I could just go over there and sit right next to her, and we can do it. You know, kind of like." In the studio today, but he didn't, for whatever reason, want me stopping by. So I tried.
You make the bloodhound nervous. That's all. I got the bloodhound gets nervous. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get the bloodhound all worked up. Otherwise, you would have been all right.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what's going on, man? Talk to us. What's going on with what do you want to start? You want to start with KBF? How's things over?
Sure. We're about to kick off the 2012 Challenge Series. We've got about 3 weeks until that kicks off March 1st. Pretty pumped up about that. We've got most of the sponsors back on board this year. I've got a couple. I've got one that I'm in negotiation with to come back, and I got about five that are willing to jump into their spot if they if they don't want it. Just got a commitment from Lowrance to provide some electronics for prizes for the Challenge Series. Got a commitment from Costa Del Mar. Earlier in the week, they're going to provide some glasses for prizes for the Challenge Series. Got Impact Lures signed on out of Florida to provide some lure packages. Another company out of Texas, Toad Wrangler, makes some really nice bass jigs, signed on to provide some sponsorship package prizes for some of the lower positions, 8th, 9th, 10th, and on. So we've got a real good really, really good prize package system from the top all the way to the bottom. $150 for the year, which gets you entry into 9 tournaments, averaging anywhere from $5,000 to about $8,000 in prizes per challenge and growing. We're going to try to keep it to where, you know, the more people that compete, the better the prizes get, but also extend it out to where we do one prize per 10 places. So if we ended up with 200 people entered, we would have 20 places. And, you know, that's unheard of in this game. Nobody's giving away prizes out to 10th place, much less 20th place. So we're gonna try to make it one of those deals to where you can almost not lose. You figure if you fish 9 tournaments, at some point you're going to finish 5th or better. You make your money back. If you finish 10th every time, you double your money. You know, if you finish 20th 3 times, you make back, you know, 4 times, you make back your investment. So it's a good little concept. I'm pretty proud of it. I can't say that, you know, I did it by myself. There's been a whole lot of people that have helped out, lots of support from folks all over the yak industry. You know, it's a lot of work, I'm not gonna lie. It's a lot of rewarding work. I get to work with some pretty cool companies, and you know, get to have the benefit of getting to use some pretty cool gear and try to pass that on to the, you know, to the folks that do what I do, which is fish out of a kayak. You know, so.
So are these monthly tournaments? So these are monthly.
Yeah.
So every month there's a different tournament. You don't have to be in every month, right? So you can, if somebody chooses, they can fish a couple months out.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the whole year?
No, you don't have to do the whole year. We obviously tried to make it an overwhelming value to go ahead and sign up for the whole year. Like I said, it's $150 for all 9 or $40 for the individual challenges. So you don't have to take your shoes off to figure out that the Bass Pass, which is what we call it, is a really good deal. It makes it, you know, somewhere between $15 and $17 a challenge. If you enter the challenge series and you use the Bass Pass, you also get a 15% off all your purchases at Hook One. I don't have any exclusions on that. So once you buy your Bass Pass, you'll get an automated email that gives you a coupon code. And that's good for 15% off of all your purchases at Hook One for the rest of the year, for the remainder of 2012. So that's another perk of the Bass Pass. And then, you know, if you enter the individual challenges, you know, over the course of the year, it will cost you almost $400, whereas the Bass Pass is $150. So it's a total value that we tried to bring to the table. Obviously, there's a business angle to it. In other words, the more entries we can get up front, the better we are able to predict what kind of you know, product value we're going to be able to contribute based on how much entry fee revenue we've generated. A lot of the way that I get these great prize packages is I make a commitment to the companies to buy a certain amount of product from them. So some of the entry fees, you know, less and less because kayak bass fishing is getting popular enough that it can carry itself. But in the beginning and through the evolution of this challenge series, we basically bought back some of the product, which is kind of, we've kind of said to the manufacturers of the companies that are providing the products that we'll put some skin in the game. You know, we'll buy some of the product from you. So it's almost a no-brainer. And they've been great. We've showed them a good return on investment. And, you know, it's unbelievable some of the fish that have been put up. I think we had 40 fish over 23 inches last year, which is just crazy for largemouth bass. You can probably go to any bass fishing site out there, and you'll be hard-pressed to find, you know, even a regular bass fishing site, the kind of quality of fish that were put up. This year, one of the things we're doing is introducing a regional challenge series where we can kind of level the playing field a little bit. We use a smallmouth multiplier throughout the year and a AMI calculator for a couple of the challenges to kind of level the playing field north, south, east, and west. But this year, we're going to introduce a regional series, whether we divide it up north, central, and south. We'll divide it up, you know, northeast. That debate is actually going on kayak fishing or kayakbassfishing.com right now. So feel free to jump on there and throw your two cents in, because once we decide and we put the system together, it's kind of locked. So the more input we get now, the better. But we're going to make that kind of a weekend deal. You know, $10, you get almost double the money for entry fees for first place. Some of that's going to be hook one gift certificates. Some of that's going to be products that are donated by sponsors. And this is the pilot year. So there's going to be probably some growing pains. There's going to be some, you know, figuring out what works best for everybody. But right now, the way it's going to work is Thursday night at midnight, the identifier will become live. That allows you to fish Friday, Saturday, and Sunday till midnight. And then you get to compete at a lower scale. You don't have to commit that much money to it, and you don't have to try to fish all month. It's more like a weekend series, you know, bass fishing tournament. It's going to be two fish to start with. Ultimately, we'll expand it to three, you know, possibly even five fish. That's just a really big scoring nightmare in the beginning. So we're going to start off with two fish and kind of tiptoe our way into it. But, yeah, it's going to be two fish. It's going to be weekend warrior kind of a concept, and biggest two fish combination over the weekend wins, you know. So for a fat round number, if we had 10 people in there at $10, that's $100. First place would be somewhere around $150 to $175 value. Second place would be somewhere in the $50 to $75, and third place would be $25. So you double your money and a half for third place. And then we'll just evolve that concept as we go. So
it's not just, you also have some saltwater challenges in that series too.
We've really struggled to get the saltwater challenge to kind of take. I think part of the problem is there's so many competing interests for the saltwater's angler's attention. The beautiful thing about the Kayak Bass Fishing Challenge series is you can do it anytime. You can piggyback it on what you're already doing. So if you're fishing a tournament in Florida, then take your identifier and you can double up what you win in that tournament, or you could win something in the challenge series and may not even place in the tournament. And, you know, as well as I do, how many times have you and I fished tournaments together where we flat spanked them during pre-fishing, and then
right.
Come tournament day, it was a completely different story. Well, if you got your identifier with you and you're entered into the Kayak Bass Fishing Challenge Series, then you've got the opportunity to take that fish that you caught pre-fishing that doesn't count for the normal tournament and end up winning something in the Kayak Bass Fishing Challenge Series. And if you catch something on tournament day, then you can bump up your prize package because you can win something in the tournament and take home a prize through KBF. So that was the idea, that some people can't travel, the idea that in the freshwater world right now it's still pretty spread out. There's not a lot of clubs that have formed, you know, if you will, like TKAA and NEKF and some of these other big clubs on the East Coast, and, you know, Texas Kayak Fishermen down south, and Gulf Coast Kayak Fishermen, and Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and all those guys that have really, you know, got together and started having these events. For me, this was a way to unite the folks out there that are in no man's land to have that camaraderie and competitive interaction without having to drive 10 hours, without having to get a hotel room, without having to take a day off work, without having to attend a captain's meeting, and then, you know, they're getting to do that whole competitive thing and enjoy the kayak fishing tournament concept, you know, for a fraction of the cost and kind of cut their teeth on the catch, photo, release concept, you know, before they jump in a car and drive, you know, 8 hours to Jamaica Bay to fish the Jamaica Bay, you know, kayak fishing tournament up there, or, you know, down to Jacksonville, or over to Subers tournament in Tallahassee area, or what have you. You know, and so for me, it was just a no-brainer. You know, it was catch, photo, release 24/7, you know. Right now, it's not 365. We have to take a break to promote the sponsors, to formulate the product or the packages for the next year and all that. So it runs from March 1st until the last day of November. That gives us a little bit of break for Christmas and gives us a little bit of break for the first part of the year to catch up on prizes, to catch up on scoring. You know, this year it was overwhelming. I had a lot of personal stuff with some kidney stones and some identity theft and some other crazy stuff.
All right.
So, you know, it was one of those deals where I had to bring on some help, and, you know, I'll admit that I probably could have done that a long time ago. I should have done that a long time ago, got a lot more people involved. But, you know, man, when something's your baby, it's real hard to
All right, hold on. Can I cut you? Let me stop you because there's chat rooms going.
Sure.
I want to get these questions. So somebody's asking, what would you think about clubs organizing a tournament and piggybacking on KBF? Folks will be fishing in the KBF tourney, but results, the local tournament would be calculated from KBF results for the local tourney as well.
It's actually a great idea. In fact, we actually thought of that before we thought of the real challenge series. The whole idea of the way we put it together was to allow the system to be used for that purpose. So not only am I saying, yeah, that's okay, but that's something we really want to promote. It gives us something to get the clubs to get competitive about. In fact, you know, for some of the clubs that want to get involved, we could create a custom page for that club, and they can use our system to run a full-blown challenge series that's their own. Or, you know, one of the clubs last year, I think Georgia Kayak Fishing, did a deal where some guys got together, and they basically had a side pot or a side deal where whoever finished the highest in the challenges on KBF, that was how they determined their winner locally. So the guy might have finished fifth in the KBF challenge series, but if he was the first Georgia kayak fisherman, then he was the winner. So that piggybacking concept is absolutely the idea of where I want this thing to go. And I think it's something that is a huge concept. You know, part of what we're going to do with this regional concept is we're going to ultimately package that up with points that earn you bass passes, points that earn you degrees of points towards gear, rewards points towards Hook One, rewards points towards Lowrance, towards Wilderness Systems, Adventure Technologies, Torquedo. You know, all of the companies. Columbia Sportswear is working up a rewards program for me right now. Just all the companies that have been really great about sponsoring the tournament series and sponsoring kayak bass fishing and sponsoring a lot of the tournaments that I've helped organize over the years, like Tidewater Kayak Anglers and Jeff Subers Tournament down there in Forgotten Coast. And, you know, just being in this game, you know, for quite a while and being around the sport, all the way back to the Extreme Edge Challenge series that Rick Roberts put together, and kind of, you know, building those relationships and making, you know, contacts. And it's been amazing not only to see the support, but in how much traffic we get on kayak bass fishing, but how much interest there is and growing interest in not only in kayak fishing, specifically kayak bass fishing, but also in embracing the Heroes on the Water concept, which is, you know as well as I do, because we talk about this a lot off track, but, you know, for me, that's one of the ultimate goals of creating this whole thing into more than just a website. When I wrote the book, was a venue, a platform, for promoting awareness about, you know, that concept of taking care of our vets. Because, you know, I'm active duty now. I've got about 6 months till I retire. But it's been what I like to call America's dirty little secret. For the last decade that we've been at war, we've done nothing but keep it off of TV and hide it because nobody wants to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is we've got an army of guys that life has changed forever. And anything that we can do, anything that we can create, anything that we can put together that will help, you know, generate awareness, funding, support, additional chapters, more volunteers for what Heroes on the Water is doing, I'm all about. So that's
right. Yeah. That's
kind of the KayakBassFishing.com challenge series in a nutshell. I'm not sure if we're going to do the saltwater thing this year. We got to rack and stack it. We got to look at our entry fees. We got to look at the participation. We may back it up a step and just kind of go back to basics and run a saltwater challenge series similar to what we did the first year. Last year we tried to get ambitious, and I think we ended up, you know, doing more harm than good because we ended up overextending ourselves. And Chappie, or Up the Creek, as a lot of you guys will know him, ended up having to deploy midway through the series. I had a bunch of personal stuff going on. We just didn't have the manpower to really keep on top of that. And I think this year we're going to take a lot better look at it and make sure that we have it nailed down before we promote it or push it or do it. And we may even take a year off and gather our stuff and come out in 2013 or even later on in 2012 with a jam-up saltwater challenge series. So to answer your question about the saltwater, we're working it. I can't make any promises right now, but we're going to do everything we can to get it back up on the board.
No, that's cool. I was just asking because I know we got a lot of people in here, too, that maybe both salt and fresh or just salt or just fresh only. So I just wondered that in case they weren't aware, I know in the past there was a saltwater division. So I was just curious if there would be a one again this year. So, so what else is going on with the, I know you got a lot going on, but what's going on at Hook One? Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys have been up to at Hook One? I know it seems like products coming in left and right. You're making a lot of things available to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, my goal was when we bought Hook One is to take over where Karen had done a great job for 10 years and say, let's take this thing to the next level. And, you know, I wanted a kayak fishing store that I would want to go shopping in. I wanted a kayak fishing store where it wasn't just rod holders and paddles and PFDs and the kayak stuff, but it was also the fishing stuff, the lures and tackle and scents and fishing tools and scales and nets and, you know, all the things out there that we use as anglers. So, you know, we've been aggressively going after it. When I bought Hook One or when I co-bought Hook One, we had 212 items or products in the inventory. And then when we closed the books on 2011, we had 685 products available. So we're doing the best we can. You know, obviously neither one of us are rich. You know, we bought the company on the good old American dream of finance it and pay it off, just like everybody else. So we're trying to be smart and not grow faster than we can, but we've gotten a lot of great support. Guys tell us to, hey, we want to see this product in the store, so we put it in the store and people start buying it, which generates enough revenue for us to add the next product line. So we've been able to do that. We've been able to aggressively go towards paying off the note so that we can, you know, actually own it instead of the bank owning it and run a legitimate, you know, American business that's committed to doing the best we can to work with companies that make stuff here, the people that hire people from here, and, you know, work with great companies like Yak Attack with Luther and you know, American-made kayaks and guys like, we just picked up Diablo recently, and those guys make, they make them right there in Texas. You know, Wilderness Systems makes their kayaks in South Carolina. So, you know, there's some Asian parts here and there, just like anything else. Any other industry, there's some handles and some fasteners and things that you can't find domestically. But for the most part, it's us trying to do the best we can to support companies that are made in America, companies that try to be committed to making stuff in America, and ones that are committed to helping, you know, organizations like Heroes on the Water. So, you know, the more influence that I can garner or the bigger voice that I can get, I think the more that I can do to help those folks out. So, you know, that's kind of the next evolution of all the stuff that I've been working on. I know a lot of people have seen the YouTube videos. The YouTube videos have been snippets of stuff that we've been working on that culminates in a television show that is coming out on NBC Sports. It'll debut in the 1 o'clock on Friday time slot, which is NBC Sports' outdoor channel. 1 o'clock is the latest that we could get because of some of the bigger entities like Jose Uribe with Spanish Fly and some of these other guys are so established that they kind of nailed down those later time slots. But, you know, we got
they get
what
to
they
fix
call
their time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and they got a lot better sponsorship, and they can afford those slots because you pay for them. Trust me, they're not giving those things away. But, you know, I'm pretty excited. We are getting ready to launch the show. Like I said, I think March 26th is the first air date or thereabouts. And then after that, it'll air every Friday for 13 weeks. And then I think there's a couple of week gap. I don't exactly know when the last show is off of that 13-week cycle. But then my other show, which is some of the same stuff that's kind of reconstituted onto World Fishing Network, but it's also 10 original episodes. So the show that you'll watch on NBC Sports is going to be a three-episode miniseries. It'll be three episodes that they show three times each, and one of them will show four times. And then the World Fishing Network will be 13 full episodes. So there'll be 10 episodes that haven't been shown on NBC Sports, plus the three that were shown on NBC Sports will be changed up a little bit for the World Fishing Network format. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm not going to lie, man. For 3 years, we've been killing it, working our butts off, you know, gathering all this stuff together. So it's about to happen. You know, just time now. You know, I leave next week, end of next week, to go film again. I'm filming in Alabama near Montgomery. And then I'm rolling from there over to near Tupelo, Mississippi, and then rolling on to the Bassmasters Classic to do some sponsorship commitments and grip and grin and maybe get to see some of my family in Louisiana while I'm there in Shreveport. And then making a crazy drive back with Marty Mood from Hobie Fishing. Probably going to do like 19 hours just trading off sleeping and driving to get back to Virginia in time to be to work because we're both in the Navy. So that's my next couple of weeks. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, very cool. Sounds like you're busy and definitely getting the word out there on kayak fishing. Not that it hasn't got its own word nowadays. It's crazy. I remember, geez, when you and I, you know, we first started getting out there and fishing tournaments, there wasn't nothing, you know. It wasn't that many people. Now it's just insane how much the sport has grown, and, you know, it's just taken off like wildfire. As long as the gas prices stay high and everybody realizes that it's a great way to get out there, I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. Luther and I were just talking about that the other day. I don't think it's even... excuse me, I was reading the chat room, that it's even hit, you know, it's nowhere near maxing out yet. I think kayak fishing is just going to keep growing and growing.
I think what happened is early on we were kind of a novelty. People thought, oh, look at the little kayak guys, they're so cute. And now we're kicking their butts in tournaments and putting up better fish than they are on half of the shows. So, you know, we're a legitimate, no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts fishing platform now, so a lot more people are taking it serious, you know. And I don't think it's going to slow down.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to give away one of Chad's books right now. So my question to everybody here is, what PFD does Chad wear in his videos? If you've been watching any of the YouTube clips of the upcoming shows, what PFD does Chad wear? First one to answer correctly, we'll get a copy of the book.
Hey, and for all of these prizes, if you win it, all you have to do is email me at kayakbassfishing@gmail, put in there what you want in the subject line, and then put kayak fishing radio, and then dash what your prize was, and then send me your address and full name, and, you know, what you want written in the book if you win the book, or, you know, email me and I'll send you the code to claim the bass pass for the person that wins the bass pass for the year. And so real easy to claim the prizes. Just send me an email at kayakbassfishing@gmail and I will take care of you.
We got Columbia, Stolquist, a Coast Guard approved one, and of course smart Alec Tom Vanderheiden said an inner tube.
Nope.
Real
Astral. There you go, D. But no, not an Astral. That's what you and I wear. Wow.
Keep them coming.
Nobody's taking a good stab. He hasn't figured it out yet, D. Wow, they're still trying. Well, while they're trying, I got to get this. We got a couple callers here. I've kind of been vague. And D, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, we've been talking away here. Didn't get a chance to say hi to you tonight. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Awesome. Doing real good.
Excellent.
Very cool. Did you get on the water today?
I tried.
I saw that about what you found in the water today.
Oh, my God. You have no idea
MTI?
How gross that was. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things at once. Kind of confusing.
We got
MTI, Chad?
Yeah. MTI.
MTI.
That looks like Rob Choi.
Mr. Rob Choi. All right, Chad's put up a few things he's going to give away tonight, so we're going to keep chatting, but we're going to keep on moving through the stuff. Another book, another question for another copy of Chad's book. What was the latest video about? These are YouTube videos, correct, Chad?
Yeah, it's for Kayak Bass and TV, the YouTube channel that I put all my videos on.
If anybody's quick on the web, they can go take care of it.
Joe said Texas.
Campbell, Texas.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, there it is. We got two winners tonight. Very cool. All right, Joe, Rob, there's our first two winners. Very cool. Well, you heard Chad. We're gonna. You can go ahead and email him, and he'll hook you up with your books. So what's with the TV show? So you've been filming, you've been getting out there, and you're going to air coming up at the end of March.
Yep. It was
So how has that all worked out?
It's been fun. I've gotten to go down to Texas and fish in some private lakes. I got to go fish with several of the guys from KBF and fish public lake. I fished down in Florida in a couple of places. I got to hook up with a former Elite Series pro guy that at one time was one of the top 10 anglers, ranked in the Bassmaster Series, a guy by the name of Mark Rogers from BassOnline.com. We fished Lake Okeechobee. I actually went to Florida, and I fished Lake Okeechobee during a very still, hot, warm front the first day. We decided to fish Okeechobee first and then go to Miami for peacocks later. The second day, a cold front blew in, so it messed up the bass fishing in Okeechobee, and if I would have fished it backwards, the peacock bass would have been better in Miami the first day, and the largemouth would have been better in Okeechobee the second day. But we caught fish. We had a good time. Miami was interesting. I'm not going to lie to you. It was weird having elementary schools full of kids that didn't speak English coming up to the fence and talking about kayak fishing. We were obviously doing some mother shipping on bass boats because we were running back into the canals in Miami, and then we were running way back into the isolated parts of Lake Okeechobee for the Okeechobee filming. So we were showing the whole fact that you can also kayak fish if you own a boat because it's a great mothership tool, and then when you get as far as you can go in the boat, you can drop it off and get up into the hard to get to places. So we did that in Miami. About halfway through the trip, the guy started talking smack, a guy by the name of Brett Isaacson, one of the funniest dudes that I've fished with in a long time. He's a total character. Your day on the water will be fun if you ever book this guy, even if you don't catch a single fish, because he's a nut. But about halfway through the day, he says his butt hurts, and he kept sitting in the gangster lean. And no matter how hard I try to tell him, like, you'll be more comfortable if you make the seat vertical. You know, I know it's hard to believe, but if you make the seat vertical, you'll be more comfortable. So he's like, man, I'm going to get in the boat. You wouldn't be kicking my butt if I was in my boat. You know, so it was kind of the playful banter going back and forth. So we literally switched gears right in the middle of the filming and said, rather than this just be a mothershipping, you know, we use Brett's boat to get there, and then Chad and Brett fish out of the kayaks. Let's see what we can do, like mano a mano. And I fished against him in a $30,000, $40,000 bass boat for most of the rest of the day, and it turned out to be pretty interesting. We ran into manatees, we ran into tarpon. I had people feeding tarpon off of the balcony of a hotel, and went over and hooked one on a six-aught or a number six ultralight hook that I was fishing for peacocks with, and had a tarpon or a snook or something, like straighten it out like it wasn't even there. With a bunch
of
kids watching
on this
from,
show.
What's that?
You said the wrong word on this show, tarpon. Everybody's been getting all excited for that boondoggle because they're talking about being some tarpon down there. Wheeler probably just fell off his chair.
They were loaded up where we were at in Miami. If you ever go to Miami and you want to find these snook, big tarpon, peacocks, Mayan cichlids, you know, it's like a smorgasbord of fish. You can launch in downtown Miami right across from the Burger King World Headquarters. You can see the big Burger King building. If you Google Burger King World Headquarters and get the address, there's a boat ramp right across the street, and you're within paddling distance of world-class peacock bass fishing. There's tarpon, snook, big jacks. We had two fish blow up on topwater little prop baits that we were throwing for peacocks. Mine blew up and cut me off, pulled me down into some oysters right out of the chute. This is a freshwater lake and loaded with oysters, manatees, tarpon, snook, the whole nine. And Brett ended up hooking his out in open water and landed one about 10, maybe even 12 pound jack on light tackle. It was awesome. The cold front blew in, so the peacocks were pretty cold, pretty slow in the morning. They're a tropical fish, so even water temps in the high 60s shuts them down. But we were able to use some bass tactics, some drop shotting, some slow-moving baits to pick up a few fish. And then when it warmed up in the afternoon, we got a few of them to cooperate on topwaters. I ran into guys that were on their lunch break from working in one of these big, you know, 50-story buildings, out taking a break singing on the guitar. So I got to jump in on a jam session with a guy. Got to hang out with kids from elementary school. We had an SA who was running from the law. Tatted up from wrist to wrist, come out and start talking to us about fishing. I mean, it was just one of the craziest experiences that I've had kayak fishing. You know, downtown Miami, going down through canals with people sitting on their porch, fishing for peacocks in these isolated lakes, fishing for them in the big main lakes, fishing for them in canals. It was just a crazy deal. Iguanas, big 6-foot iguanas hanging out on the bank that were stunned from the cold front. You could literally have walked up and picked them up by the head if you wanted to. It was crazy, man. So we fished Okeechobee and had a lot of bass. A lot of buck bass had moved into the shallows. The bass were like flirting with spawning, but the big females hadn't showed up. We got one pretty good-sized female. At the end of the last day, it was one of them ninth inning, you know, two strikes, three men on base, games tied, you know, or, you know, the other team's up by one, payoff pitch kind of a deal. And Mark actually, you know, caught one about 7 pounds right at the buzzer. So it was a great trip. Got a lot of fish on topwater frogs. So a lot of topwater action. Had several big fish misses. When we first got there, we were fishing a little bit too fast. And had a couple of big fish blow up. Then the cold front moved in that afternoon and night, which pushed the big females out of the shallow water and back out onto this rim pond, or this big rim canal that runs the whole perimeter of Okeechobee. And they just didn't commit to the shallows while I was there. But the day after I left, Brett, the guy that I peacock bass fished with, went back in there, and they got nine fish over 7 pounds on one trip, him and his client. So,
wow.
Okeechobee is definitely a big fish destination. I'm definitely going to be back. I'm trying to go back to Florida in the March time frame to get down there and fish with Ken Daubert, you know, the guy that wrote Kayak Fishing
the
Revolution.
Florida.
Florida. He owns Florida Kayak Fishing, and, you know, is the guy that you see on all the videos that uses the frogs, you know, the frogs that I use a lot of. Designer of the Banjo Minnow. you know, really well-known guy in the kayak fishing community if you've been around for a while. But he lives in Ocala, so I'm going to go try to fish with him. And, you know, so living the dream, man, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of work, but at the same time, you know, like my grandpa said, if, you, if you're doing for a living what you thought about doing when you were at work, you'll never work again the day in your life. So, you know, hopefully that's where I'll be and get to enjoy this sport and hang out with folks that do what I love to do for, you know, the next 20 years. The first 20 has been the Navy and doing whatever Uncle Sam wanted me to do, and I'm going to try to take this next 20 and do my thing. So, anyway.
Well, it seems like you're on the right track, definitely. All right. So, for a $25 gift card to Hook One, what's the question going to be for that? Chad?
It's coming.
Oh.
Ding,
is it in your head?
Ding, 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 ding.
My heater quit, so my hands are frozen. I got this little space heater sitting here, so it's like typing. I feel like a tard trying to type.
What gear bag was used in the Ultimate Gear Bag video for a $25 gift card to Hook One? All right, come on, people. Wow. We're having login problems here or something.
Yeah, I'm back and forth with Chip.
Who's the person logged in as Kayak Fishing Radio?
I don't know. Kayak Fishing, I'm logged in, but showing up. Who is that?
I don't know. Chuck, what are you doing? Redfish Chuck, you hung up on me. I was going to get to you next, buddy. Sorry.
Oh, is that Wheeler?
It's not Fishpond.
I don't know.
There, Jim. Yeah,
Precision Pack.
Whoever Salt,
yeah,
Warrior,
Salt Warrior
is, nailed it.
Salt Warrior, make sure you email. Marty Mood is logged in as Kayak Fishing Radio. What in the world have you done, Marty? All right, well, Marty's not viable for me.
Salt Warrior is the winner?
Saltwater,
yep.
Saltwater is the winner. Like I said, that's three times fast. Sorry, Manny, you're too slow.
All right, here comes the next $25 Hook One gift certificate question. I just sent it to you.
Name any lure specifically mentioned in Kayak Bassin TV webisode.
Got to be the actual
$25
name.
Again. The actual name. What is? Who cares, Alex? Oh, man.
Always a funny one in the bunch.
Bombshell Turtle.
Agent Virginia.
Yeah,
Joe Campo. Giving them away now. Well, congratulations to all the winners so far. Very cool.
He won twice.
Oh. He's got a book, and now he's got a gift certificate. Go buy something. Winner, winner. Very cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
well, some people are watching.
Anybody interested?
That should give you a good feeling. People are watching your videos, at least. Well, we know Joe's watched two of them anyway. Just joking.
There's two of the views.
Very cool. I'm still trying to figure out how Marty got on as Kayak Fishing Radio.
He's got a man crush on Chad.
Who's got a man crush?
Tom Matouche says that somebody has a man crush on you.
Who?
He's joking. The guy who's won the two prizes, he's saying he's got a man crush on you. He's somebody who wants to catch a damn bass. That's what he says. Anything you can do, right?
A bigger one, preferably on the...
And that's the beauty, a lot of that stuff, you know, and that's the beauty.
All right, so for everybody that's logged into the chat room, I just dropped the link in to the trailer for the TV show, so you can click on that watch it and tell me what you think. And
that's a first time event, correct?
Yeah, yeah, it's the first time it's been released publicly. So that's the trailer.
Well, there you go. So everybody who's tuned in here tonight gets to see something that no one else publicly has seen.
They're all watching now. Nobody listening anymore.
Yeah, everybody's
whatever
dropped out.
Whatever you want to say.
All right, so while they're watching that, I'm going to come up with the Bass Pass question.
That's right. Make it a good one. You don't want Mr. Campo. Make some work. Who's dialing?
I don't know.
Music is nice. No, we don't. Oh, they're
I'll
talking about
honking.
The video. I have seen it, so dig into music. It is pretty good.
Yeah, I can do it with other
music.
Noises. Ooh, Jaws.
Where's this, Chuck? I am listening. Well, thanks, Chuck. Chuck, you had a great show last night. If you are listening, when you said tarpon earlier, Chad, we had Alan Adams. Is that right? Dr. Alan Adams from the Bonefish Tarpon
and Trust
last night, Chad. That was a
really
very
awesome.
Good show. I'd love to hear that guy come back on again. He was very good.
Yeah, those guys rock.
Yeah. We had Chris and I have met Lefty a couple times, and we'd always asked him about that show when they filmed the Pirates of the Flats and everything, and it was funny. He didn't mention it last night, but while everybody's watching your video, I'll spit it out real quick. So Chris asked Lefty when they filmed that show, what was it like working with Michael Keaton? And for everybody who knows Lefty Cray in here, you know Lefty, he's probably close to 90 now. Lefty said, they told me I was going to be filming with Michael Keaton. And I said, who the hell's Michael Keaton? Lefty didn't even have a clue who Michael Keaton was. He's like, he's Batman. He's like, who? Batman? No, Batman's dead. You know, he's thinking, the original Batman. So Chris was like, well, what was it like working with him? He said, you know, if everybody's ever talked to Lefty, he's always got something. But anyway, he said, Michael Keaton was like a bumblebee in a jar. He said that guy did not stop. He was always on the go. It was pretty funny. But, yeah, I just thought it was definite classic Lefty right there. They told me I was working with Michael Keaton. I said, who the hell is Michael Keaton? So it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Buster Keaton for Lefty, yeah. Chris,
tell you what, man.
Lefty.
There's a lot of people that you'd say to yourself, oh, why is that guy a celebrity, or why is that guy renowned, or whatever? And I went to the Timonium Fly Fishing Festival up in Kenton Arrows, Maryland, several years ago, and Lefty was doing a casting demonstration.
Was that the weekend where you called us real late?
Yeah. That might have been the weekend where you got serenaded to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I remember
that weekend.
Man of Constant Sorrow. But anyway... Uh-huh. We met, you know, Lefty was up there doing a casting demonstration, and he was about halfway through his thing, and he got interrupted by a guy that said, it's more of a rod thing than it is a technique thing. And Russ, and Lefty pointed his finger at him like he was chastising a school child and said, it's all technique. It's very little to do with the rod. And he broke his rod in half. He reached in the middle and pulled it apart, not broke it over his knee, but pulled it apart because it was a four-piece rod, and took the top half of the fly rod and cast an entire fly line with just the top half of the rod and said, and then pointed the rod at the guy like he had a pointer in school, like he pointed the chalkboard with, and he says, it's all technique. Then he stripped up a bunch of line, took the rod in half again, so he's only got the tip, and he cast about 70 feet of line with just the tip. And he said, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, it's all technique. And that dude was standing there like shoulders shrunk, head down, tail between his legs. But I'm standing there watching Lefty Cray cast a really heavy taper tarpon line, you know, 135 feet with half a rod, and then break it down and cast about 70 or 80 of it with just the tip. So it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen him do that too in Waynesboro at the Fly Fishing Festival. You're exactly right. I've seen him just throw the thing down. And it's funny you say that. I don't know if he used the same line, but he said, this is the part I like about being sponsored or whatever, and he just like threw the rod down on the ground after he broke it. They give me these things for free, he says. He throws it down on the ground and then starts bailing out a bunch of line. Who's got a question here? Somebody.
Mark Wheeler does. I told him, talk fast.
Hey, Chad. Oh, quick question for you. Not much, man. The big craze that's hitting the bass world, or did hit the bass world, the Alabama rig. What's your views on that, and you know how it's you know coming around to you know kayak bass fishing and it, just fishing in general?
Well, first of all, it's not new. It's an umbrella rig, and if you've lived on the Chesapeake Bay more than 15 minutes, you've already seen it. It's the way people fish. It's one of the staples of striper fishing. It's been used for, you know, fishing for probably half a century. Now, that being said, it's a great testament to the popularity of professional bass fishing and what bass fishing does to drive the industry, because if you and me and 8 or 10 other guys talked about a particular lure, it would take it 10 years to catch on as a craze. But when these guys go out and they fish these bass tournaments and they 10 of the top 10 at that open in Gunnersville are fishing the Alabama rig because Paul Elias smashed them the first day on it and then told everybody about it. And then that lure is literally 60,000 copies back ordered. And if you walked around any of the fishing news shows lately, not only is it so popular that the company that makes it can't keep up, but there's 15 or 20 or 30 companies that have literally been born because of the A-Rig. It's only named the Alabama rig because they smashed them at a tournament in Alabama. It's really just a mini umbrella rig. Now, that being said, I don't think for tournament purposes that it's a good product. I think a tournament is about watching the guys establish a pattern. I personally wouldn't want to watch a tournament show with 10 guys all casting Alabama rigs and just straining water until they caught fish. But I can say that it's a great tool for getting – it's just like bait fishing for me. I'm not a big bait fishing fan, but I'm not a bait – I'm not an artificial elitist either. I think that if it takes using bait to get you interested in fishing, then use bait. If it takes using bait to get your neighbor interested in going out fishing, then use bait, because they become fishermen. They care about the fishery. They care about the sport. They become one of us, and I don't think that we should make all of these – divisive lines between what's right and what's wrong, and especially amongst ourselves. So I personally may fish an Alabama rig for the novelty of it. I may fish the Alabama rig, you know, to show that it's an option, you know, on the television show, because if you're making a bass fishing product these days and you're not using it or acknowledging that it's out there, then, you know what I mean, you're really not, you don't have your finger on the pulse of the sport. I have no plans to add it to the way that I fish, because for me, I enjoy the matching wits with the animal with the brain the size of a pea, and to me, it's just kind of straining water. So, you know, I've seen Alabama rigs now that have 5 spinnerbaits on them. You know, if I could have figured out a way to throw 5 spinnerbaits before, I wouldn't have done it, because I don't want to throw 5 spinnerbaits. I want to throw a spinnerbait. So I don't naysay it. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's not something that I think is it's not something that I'm going to personally have tied on every time I go out fishing. And when I'm fishing for pleasure, you know, I'm either using a really specific presentation or a fly rod. So I'm sure as hell ain't going to throw a fly rod with 8 lures tied to the end of it. So I don't. So anyway, to finish up Mark's answer, I like what it's done for the sport. I think it's created a lot of hype. I think it's created a lot of interest. I think it's gotten some people fishing that hadn't been fishing a while. I think it's got some folks excited and confident. And I think the folks that it gets to go out there and catch fish to build up their confidence will ultimately start to use the information that they gather from catching fish on a 5-bait rig to say, oh, well, I know where to catch them. Now I'm going to catch them on a lure that is not a 5-bait rig. I'm going to catch them on a crankbait, a worm, a rattle trap, you know, something along those lines. But I definitely applaud BASS for outlawing it for tournament fishing. I just don't think it's a measure of, you know, these guys that are out there pioneering the techniques and doing lure prototype testing that all of us ultimately benefit from. I just don't think it's a good thing that I just don't think it's a good thing for that.